Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the 7th day of March, 2024. I'm your host, Mark Call. And honestly, folks, the big news today, at least if you can believe it, is that the Bidenfuhrer, the brain-dead bumbler, is scheduled to read the State of the Union address, if he can get through it, and if he can stay awake, off of the teleprompter in front of a joint session of brain-dead nincompoops who'll try to pretend for however long it takes that he was actually elected to something. Oh, yeah, I can hardly wait to see the ratings on this show. My guess is that anybody who tunes in will do so for the same reason that people stop to see a car wreck. So let's get a couple of these stories out of the way right up front. Ahead of the Bidenfuhrer State of the Union of BS this evening, what concerns, says the piece from Zero Hedge, do the political elites on Capitol Hill, right there in Swamp Central, have that would require security crews at the order of the Secret Service to erect a large steel fence around the perimeter of the Capitol complex? You know, the kind of a fence that isn't allowed when it's preventing people from invading on the southern border. In several posts on X, Fox News senior congressional correspondent Chad Pergram said the steel grated 12-foot fence around the Capitol was erected Wednesday night on orders of the Secret Service, and isn't that funny? And also a real raw expose of the hypocrisy here. No, yeah, the same and other stories point out that the governor, sick of New York, Kathy Hochul, has mobilized 1,000 National Guard troops and state police officers across New York City's subway system. They're calling it a show of force, meant as a warning to criminals and illegals who have been terrorizing New Yorkers in the subways. But there are at least some unconfirmed stories claiming that the real reason is rumors that Hamas is targeting the New York City subways. That's at least more believable than Biden as commander-in-chief. Still, what do you bet you're not going to hear much about either of those from the propaganda pulpit tonight? What you are going to hear about, though, is shrinkflation. No, not Bidenflation, because that's incredibly higher. Since the senile guy was installed as fake president, the dollar's purchasing power, says a piece from Jim Bovard today, also up on Zero Hedge, has shrunk by 18% minimum, and that's official, as Americans suffer from the worst inflationary ravages since the Carter era, at minimum. And remember, that's in spite of the ridiculously understated statistics. But that plunge, he says, is trivial compared with the nation's real affliction, at least so far as what the Bidenfuhrer would have you believe, probably while he was licking an ice cream cone. Snack companies, quote, charge you just as much for the same size bag of potato chips, only there's a hell of a lot fewer chips in it, declared the guy who can probably remember, well, maybe no, he can't, the potato famine. Among other things, notes Bovard, the Bidenfuhrer is expected to vigorously denounce what he calls corporate greed in the bogus State of the Union address Thursday evening, because the White Whorehouse apparently believes that Americans are stupid enough to swallow their line of BS and think that scapegoating corporate executives will somehow magically redeem the reputation of Bidenomics. Put simply, invite aliens in, spend like there's no tomorrow, and when it all comes crashing down and the shelves at Walmart are empty, blame the corporate executives for shrinkflation all the way to zero. Yeah, those chips are so small you can't even see them anymore. Hey, it works with computers, right? Reported Politico, the White House, sick, has been aggressively testing out the shrinkflation messaging on the airwaves and in internal polling ahead of the Biden teleprompter session. So here's how Jim Bovard summarized it, somewhat brilliantly. The White House wants Americans to take a loftier perspective on the senile guy's dismal record. But remember, the Bidenfuhrer trashed Americans' privacy by unleashing the FBI and other three-letter agencies to ravage the Fourth Amendment. The Biden whorehouse bludgeoned the First Amendment to death by browbeating Twitter, to Facebook et al., into censoring any and all Biden critics, while the Bidenfuhrer, or his puppet masters anyway, are expanding and unleashing the IRS to hound even more hapless, dumbed-down slaves self-identifying as taxpayers. But Biden's good on cookies. Sesame Street star Cookie Monster was co-opted this week to bash food companies on Twitter, saying, "Me hate shrinkflation. Me cookies are getting smaller." And all I can add to that, folks, is, are people really this stupid? I guess we'll find out. Meanwhile, this one from Paul Joseph Watson at Modernity, who points out that the sycophants are even finally getting called out for being exactly that. MSNBC host Joe Scarborough was ridiculed, he wrote, after engaging in a bizarre performative endorsement of the strength of the Bidenfuhrer's cognitive health. Oh, yeah, he's brilliant, don't you know? Quote, "That guy's mental state, I've said it for years now, he's cogent, but I undersold him when I said he was cogent. He's far beyond cogent. Are you believing this? In fact," he continued, "I think he's better than he's ever been, intellectually, analytically, because he's been around for 50 years, unquote. And then he went on to say, even more bizarrely, start your tape right now because I'm about to tell you the truth. And if you can't handle the truth, this version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever. What does that say about Joe Scarborough? But wait, there's more. Here's something else you're probably not going to hear about on the State of the Union cowpile tonight. From the Epoch Times, California has moved to expand the existing zero-down interest-free home loan program to, say it with me, folks, illegal invaders. Yeah, they call it a controversial bill. What, even in the People's Republic of California, that would let illegal immigrants receive the same kind of home buyer assistance as U.S. citizens, has advanced in the California state legislature, SIC, drawing criticism, do you think, from those who object to subsidizing illegals and inciting them to come on in and take over a once-free country. The measure, called Assembly Bill 1840, was introduced first in mid-January, and after several amendments, advanced last week to the Committee on Housing and Community Development, where it awaits further communist support. Some lawmakers expressed opposition to a bill encouraging even more communist Chinese troops and other terrorists to come on in and take over what remains of the far-left coast. Maybe they figure that somebody at least is going to want to buy these houses, and it might as well be the invaders, since any real Californians are already planning to pack up and leave. And hey, I do have to give credit where credit is due. Maybe it's the far left's way of solving the squatter problem, like they see in Atlanta. Oh yeah, and this statistic from down in the article is at least illuminating. Border Patrol agents have reported officially that they encountered 5,717 single Chinese adults. You could say invaders there if you want. They don't choose to. In January alone, more than twice the number of any other January on record, according to CBP data. And remember, folks, the really good Special Forces invaders and other troops don't get caught. Quick little throwaway story here from the Daily Mail, and more on Fannie Willis's latest treason. Embattled Fulton County District Attorney and Soros acolyte Fannie Willis paid her prosecutor gigolo boy toy Nathan Wade almost double the salary of any of his colleagues. Oh, and he met Kamala Harris, we knew this, before she indicted Donald Trump. In yet more explosive testimony that came out on Wednesday. And guess what, folks? The judge still hasn't done the obvious and said, are you kidding me? This circus needs to come to an end. Charges dismissed, and oh yeah, so are you, Fanny. Don't hold your breath, obviously. But if you want the real State of the Union in one sordid soundbite, I can save you at least 90 minutes tonight, folks. Here next, a sequence of several stories, all of which represent kind of an interesting development that I've noticed over the last, well, certainly weeks, if not months, and that is more and more of the left starting to realize they just can't hide the truth all that much longer. Can they make it until the election is canceled or not? From the Daily Mail first, with a byline of Marianne Martinez, Chinese migrants are paying Chinese smugglers in Mexico and their gangs that are known in Chinese as snakeheads to enter the U.S. illegally. The sudden rush begins the story of Chinese illegal immigrants, and some of us will use the term that they won't, invaders, on the border has baffled Americans, and they're now asking, why are they coming and how are they getting here? Well, now they say it can be revealed for the first time. Well, folks, some of us have known a lot of this for quite a while, but let's just let them slide with that. That some are now being aided by Chinese gangs, again known as snakeheads, who are operating in synchrony with Mexican drug cartels. Known for their brutal people-smuggling tactics, it says, the snakeheads have long ferried migrants into unsuspecting nations around the world, and now DailyMail.com can reveal that they're working to secure entry to the U.S. for thousands of Chinese nationals. Yeah, they won't say it, I will. So will others in the alternative press, including various special forces and trained military units. First, the Chinese secure their route through a smuggler, paying thousands to fly from their native country, perhaps through numbers of stopovers, to Mexico and other Central and South American cities. Then they're shown their way across the border by one of the many operative gangs. And, of course, we also have NGOs doing some of the related dirty work. Other says the piece, and this is worth noting, folks, are arriving legally, well, at least you could put quotes around that, after using the controversial CBP1 app, thank you Mayorkas and Biden, that's been used by over 320,000 invaders to fly in, after claiming asylum, right at home from the comfort of their native countries. Isn't that nice of them? What kind of country that's so terrifying that you have to seek asylum lets you book it in advance? Some of those who came into the country legally via that app were observed by the DailyMail.com in San Diego last week, and they said they were greeted by boorish taxi drivers who refused to discuss with them the arrangements or how they were hired. Many of the Chinese asylum seekers were well-dressed. They had thousands of dollars to negotiate private cars to drive them to their final destinations in the U.S. I guess it's only the less trained military folks that have to rely on Biden bus passes or plane tickets. And it notes for an elevated price, the well-to-do Chinese asylum seeker or special forces troop, I can't help but add, and they include a picture here to make the case, asked for an upgraded private car to take him to Los Angeles after his expedited crossing of the U.S.-Mexico border, SIC, near San Diego. Why, it notes even the less well-heeled invaders, but still they had enough money for a private car, paid between $1,000 and $1,500 per person for the cramped, oh, how awful for them, three-hour ride. Chinese smuggling has changed in recent years, says Officer Todd Bensman to the Daily Mail. The snakeheads have long operated along the border, but the sudden rise in demand, thank you, Joe Biden, but hey, your host put that in there, has sent business through the roof. Migrants can now take self-propelled trips to Mexico by following what they see online or learn in chat room where they previously had to rely on snakeheads alone. Isn't it wonderful that the invasion has now been upgraded to the point where they can book the reservations in advance? This, folks, is what happens when a nation is literally paying for its own destruction. Again, don't expect to hear much about it tonight. On that score, I'll follow up with just a couple of comments from a piece by Maureen Callahan, featured in the Daily Mail's editorial area, about sneering elites that are, surprise, surprise, catapulting America to certain collapse. One example she gives among many, you've heard lots of them, like the Biden-Fuhrer staring vacantly into space for 15 full seconds after admitting that he couldn't answer a certain question, or for that matter, any questions, because he might get in trouble. What would they do? Refuse to change his diaper? In any case, not only do a lot of Americans think he's too old and too senile to even continue in the office, much less be reelected or reinstalled, but Callahan notes that in a further humiliation for the regime, Alex Navalny's widow, Yulia, and remember what a big deal they made out of his death, while Western press ignored the death by torture of American journalist Gonzalo Lira in Ukrainian custody. Well, in any case, Navalny's widow and Ukrainian First Lady Olena Zelenska have refused the White Whorehouse invitation to attend the Biden-Fuhrer's, sleep fest, masquerading as the State of the Union Thursday. Suggests Maureen, you gotta wonder how Biden's cheerleaders are gonna spend that. Which brings us to the complete leftist, denunciation of the actual ongoing crisis on the non-existent southern border. Here were self-regarding genius Rachel Maddow on Tuesday night, along with her leading MSNBC colleagues, SIC Joy Reid and former Biden press secretary Jen Psaki. Remember, the P is silent, like in Resident, when they laughed at concerned voters who dared to think that an invasion by communist Chinese and other terrorist troops could possibly be a problem. She's got the video. I can't stand it. But, said Psaki, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration? The number one issue? Cue laughter from Reid. Well, said a smirking Maddow, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia, a very contested area. And remember, that's where all the MAGA types and other uneducated hillbillies live, and we need to keep them out. So maybe a fence there, but no, not on the southern border. Concludes Maureen Callahan, the American electorate sees a world on fire, along with Texas, and wonders just how an elderly, blithering idiot, moron, now that was before, now he's just senile, with a poor memory to boot, can project any strength or power to an international community. I guess tonight we'll be able to see what the drugs will do at least. Let's start to wrap things up today with a quick flashback to early January of this year and a piece by John Anisha Whitehead, which begins with a reference to a famous Twilight Zone episode, courtesy of the late, great Rod Serling. I remember this one. When I was a kid, I saw it, even though it didn't quite make as much sense to me as it would now. The monsters are due on Maple Street, it was called. And he asked this question. Will 2024 be the year that the deep states exercise in controlled chaos, like Rod Serling predicted so many decades before, finally gives way to an apocalyptic dismantling of our constitutional republic? Or, as he puts it, and I would hardly agree, what's left of it? All the signs, though, seem to point in that direction, because for years now, Big Brother has been pushing us to the brink of national nervous breakdown. And that breakdown, triggered by polarizing circus politics, media-fed mass hysteria, militarization, and militainment, i.e. the selling of war and violence as if it was entertainment, and a sense of hopelessness and powerlessness in the face of growing corruption, the government's alienation from its populace, an economy that has much of the population struggling to get by, and that, of course, folks, by design. All of this, he says, has manifested itself in the polarized, manipulated mayhem, madness, and tyranny that is life in the American police state today. Why, he asked, is Big Brother and its deep state engineering this societal madness? What's in it for the government? What's playing out before us, he suggests, is a chilling lesson in social engineering, socialist engineering, really, that keeps the populace fixated on circus politics and conveniently timed spectacles, and distracted from focusing too closely on the Big Brother power grabs that continue to go on in plain sight, while at the same time it's incapable of standing united in defense of our freedoms. It's not conspiratorial, he suggests. It's a power play. Back to Rod Serling, the creator of The Twilight Zone, who, he suggests, understood the dynamics behind this power play. In that episode, The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street, Serling imagined a world in which the powers that be carried out a social experiment to see how long it would take before the members of a small American neighborhood, frightened by the sudden loss of electric power and caught up in fears of the unknown, boy, how's that for prescient, folks, will transform itself into an irrational mob and turn on each other. Answer, doesn't take long at all. Likewise, in the recent Netflix film, the apocalyptic thriller, courtesy this time of the Barack Hussein Obama crime family, entitled Leave the World Behind, unexplained crises lead to a technological blackout that leaves the populace disconnected, disoriented, isolated, suspicious, and under attack from mysterious ailments and, of course, each other. And as one of its characters speculates, the culprit behind the escalating catastrophes, which range from Wi-Fi outages and mysterious health ailments to cities under siege from rogue forces, might be the result of a military campaign intended to destabilize a nation by forcing the people to turn against each other. Well, says Whitehead, it's not really so far-flung a scenario when you consider some of the many ways Big Brother has already gotten the ability to manufacture crises in order to sow fear, fuel hysteria, destabilize the nation, and institute martial law. Now, he's going to go through a list here, but up front, I can't help but note, there are those that would claim, and once upon a time I would have been among them, that government is largely incompetent at doing anything, to which all I have to qualify now is, well, anything productive. But when it comes to destruction, remember, the adversary, and guess who they're serving here, comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. And that, folks, they've shown they are really blankety-blanking good at. Okay, here's Whitehead's list. 1, the government has the tools and the know-how to manufacture health crises. Yep, that's been clear since long before the COVID-1984 lockdown and two-part bioweapon that is still killing people by the millions. Early in Fauci's career, they were creating lethal viruses and unleashing them on an unsuspecting public. Another item in his list is that the government has the tools and the know-how to manufacture civil unrest and political upheaval. Since the days of J. Edgar Hoover, the FBI has been using agent provocateurs to infiltrate activist groups and, quote, expose, disrupt, misdirect, discredit, and otherwise neutralize them, or use them as the case may be. Third item in the list is that Big Brother has the tools and the know-how to manufacture economic instability. Gee, do you think? Come on. They've been manufacturing currency and with it economic instability, including but not limited to inflation, for over a century now. Eventually it'll come apart, but not before they profit massively on the way down too. How about this one? The government has the tools and the know-how to manufacture environmental disasters. Developed in 1947, notes Whitehead, Project Cirrus was an early precursor to HAARP, the High-Altitude Active Auroral Research Project, and Big Brother's weather-altering agency, which attempted to disable a hurricane as it was moving out to sea. And instead of weakening the storm, the government was able to steer it straight into Georgia, resulting in millions of dollars of damaged properties. And guess what? Some suggest, and I would be among those who certainly see the evidence here, they've been doing it ever since. But that's not all. Item, the government has the tools and the know-how to manufacture communications blockouts. There are things like the internet and cell phone kill switches, which enable Big Brother to shut down communications at a moment's notice. It's a practice that's been used in the U.S. For example, In 2005, cell service was disabled in four major New York tunnels, allegedly to avert potential bomb detonations via cell phone. In 2009, those attending the Obama regime inauguration had their signals blocked, again, at least allegedly for the same reasons. And in 2011, San Francisco commuters saw their cell phone signals shut down, this time to thwart possible protests associated with a police shooting. Funny how they only shut down some protests now, isn't it? Here next, one that's painfully obvious. Big Brother has the tools and the know-how to manufacture terrorist attacks, or when necessary, as now, just to let the terrorists in by the, well, millions at least, and then groom them, send them, relocate them, equip them for whatever it is that they've got planned. This includes targeting vulnerable individuals, notes Whitehead, feeding them with propaganda, know-how, and weapons intended to turn them into terrorists if they don't already come in as terrorists for some foreign nation, gang, or cartel, and then arrest them when they feel like it as part of an elaborately orchestrated counterterrorism sting. Then there's this one. The government has the tools and the know-how to manufacture propaganda. Gee, do you think? Aimed at mind control and psyops or psychological warfare. Not long ago, the Pentagon was compelled to order a sweeping review of its clandestine U.S. psychological warfare ops or psyops conducted through social media platforms. The investigation came in response to reports suggesting, can you imagine this, that the U.S. military had been creating bogus persons with AI-generated profile pictures and fictitious media sites on things like to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram in order to, who could have thought it, manipulate social media users. Of the many weapons in Big Brother's vast arsenal, psyops or psychological warfare can take many forms, from mind control experiments, behavioral nudging, propaganda, to, of course, the ever popular and still increasing media twisting and election rigging. In fact, the CIA is known to have spent nearly $20 million on its MKUltra program, back when that was real money, reportedly as a means of programming people to carry out assassinations and, to a lesser degree, inducing anxieties and erasing memories before it was allegedly, and do we even believe this for a second, shut down. Or at least it got a new code name and another, more secret level of clearance required to see what was going on. We must never forget, says Whitehead, that the government no longer exists to serve its people, if in fact it ever did, to protect their liberties and ensure their happiness. That was back when we had a constitution, folks, and people actually thought that it really mattered. Rather, he says, we the people are the unfortunate victims of the diabolical machinations of a make-works program carried out on an epic scale whose only purpose is to keep the powers that be permanently and, of course, profitably employed. And this, he notes, is how tyranny rises and freedom falls. Almost every tyranny now being perpetrated by Big Brother, the once U.S. government, against its citizenry, purportedly to keep us safe and the nation secure, yeah, sure, has come about as a result of some threat manufactured in one way or another by what was once our very own government. Think about it. You've heard the terms cyber warfare, terrorism, biochemical attacks, the nuclear arms race, surveillance, the drug wars, domestic extremism, white supremacism, the only kind of actual racism that's even allowed to be admitted, and of course, the COVID-1984 pandemic. And in almost every instance, says Whitehead, Big Brother, the U.S. government, has in its typical Machiavellian fashion sown the seeds of terror, both domestically and internationally, in order to expand its own totalitarian powers. Consider, he adds, that this very same government has taken every single bit of technology sold to us as being in our own best interest, GPS devices, surveillance, non-lethal weapons, you name it, and instead used it against us to track, trap, and control us. Are you getting the picture yet? Big Brother isn't protecting us from threats to our freedoms. The U.S. government is creating the threats to our freedoms. And it's telling that in that movie, Leave the World Behind, before disaster strikes, the main characters, on their way to a family vacation, are utterly oblivious, connected to their electronic devices and insulated from each other as well as the world around them. And adding to the disconnect, the family's teen daughter, Rose, is fixated on binge-watching episodes of Friends, even as the world falls apart around them. As TV critic Jen Chaney explains, the sitcom's presence in the story, quote, underlines how human beings crave escapism at the expense of embracing the actual present, a different way of leaving the world behind. We're in a similar escapist bubble, says Whitehead, suffering from a crisis of the now, which keeps us distracted, deluded, amused, and insulated from reality. Which is more than a bit ironic, folks, since it's that reality that is intended to take everything you have and ultimately destroy you. So I guess it turns out, as usual, that the real reality is a thing we ought to be paying a lot more attention to. And we've been given all the information we need on that score for quite a while now, if only we would read the book. Meanwhile, it seems like every day, most of the news just buttresses what we've already known and been told by the waste stream to ignore, year after year after year, until that is, like maybe now, people start to wake up and realize, is it too late? What can we do about it? And that's the plan, folks. Pay attention. Think about it. Make sure your neighbors are at least aware a little bit of what's been going on and what they're now starting to realize. No, it's not really too late, but you'd better start working on something fast and know who you serve. Thanks for being with us. May Yahuwah bless you and yours.